Tell you what, God's got a word for us today. I don't know if you came expecting a word or not, and I don't know if you're really ready to do business with God or not, but I want you to know the Lord has got something for you today. If you'll be honest with God, if you just want to play church and just come to church and you know, just kind of go along with the flow, then God's not got nothing to say to you. You might as well just go to sleep. But if you really came today expecting God to speak to you, I guarantee you the Lord is going to direct some things in our life. He's going to do some things today for His glory. And I'm going to praise Him for it and bless Him for it. After all, when all's said and done, He's worthy. Amen. I want you to look at something real quick. Now, how many know that if you're a child of God, if you've been saved by the blood of the Lamb of God, and you're a true born-again believer, the devil's going to be after you. How many believe that? The devil's going to be after you. How many has the devil been after you? I don't know about you, but boy, the enemy's been working on me. And I got a feeling that some of us today, the enemy has tried to really lure us. Listen to me. He's tried to gradually get us away from God. It doesn't take much. It's not a lot of times overnight deal, but rather it's just a gradual compromise, a gradual slipping, a gradual having a bad attitude. I don't know about y'all, but if I'm not careful, I can get a bad attitude real quick. And it doesn't take much to get out of the will of God. Tell me, do you know you're exactly where God wants you today? Are you exactly where God wants you today? Are you full of the Holy Ghost of God? Are you a Spirit-filled Christian? Are you harboring maybe some bitterness? Are you angry today? Has something happened to you today? Somebody or something? Maybe today you're feeling a spirit of jealousy or lust or some other unforgiveness perhaps that the enemy would love to just get you out of the will of God. And it's a gradual process. But I want you to know, praise God, our God is a great God. He's a God that we can trust. And today, I'm believing by faith, there are going to be many of us, if you're honest with God, there's some daddies I'm looking at out the crowd today. There's some mamas I'm looking at out the crowd today. There's some young people that are out here in the crowd today. You know that it doesn't take much to give the devil an inch and he'll take a mile. It doesn't take much to give the enemy some ground. It might be in our mind. Listen to young people. Listen to me. How many have been compromising with the music you've been listening to? You know that it has been glorifying the Lord. You say, Pastor, how dare you? I love you, but I got to tell you the truth. And see, there's a lot of us dabbling in some stuff we're watching on the computer or on television or at the movie theater. And you would not have done that years ago. But it's a gradual slipping and sliding. And just like boiling a frog alive, you will not dare throw that frog in a boiling pot of water. He'll jump right out of it. But you can gradually let that frog get used to the heat, and then he will be boiled alive. Watch. Flip the light.
A frog is a cold-blooded animal, and humans are warm-blooded, so our body burns energy or perspires to maintain the same 98.6 degrees. The cold-blooded frog's body temperature goes up and down with the temperature of its surroundings. Although frogs love water, when I hold it over this pot of boiling water, this frog is very uncomfortable and climbs to get away from it. Now, the water in this pot is room temperature, 69.4 degrees, so he's comfortable when I put him in. If I turn the burner on low flame, his body temperature will adjust and slowly he will heat up with the water. The water temperature has risen to 80 degrees and the frog is the same temperature and still comfortable. If I turn up the burner slowly again, he won't notice because he'll continue to change to be the same as his surroundings. When we started, I held the frog over the first pot of boiling water. He was uncomfortable and he tried to get away from the heat. But now, because we're raising the temperature slowly, he doesn't recognize the danger he's in. He just keeps going along with the changes in his surroundings. Eventually, we can turn up the burner to a deadly boil. He will just keep trying to adjust with it. By the time he realizes it's killing him, it's too late. He won't notice in time because he just keeps changing himself. to go along with the changes in his surroundings.
For those frog lovers, they use the stunt, all right? And I'm glad you showed that. Please turn the lights back on. Thank you, Chase, for doing that for us. Take your Bibles and turn me, please, to the book of Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11. It's a gradual slipping, you see, and the truth will be known. If some of us are honest now, if you want to play games and go through the motions and just be a church player and just kind of drift in and drift out, you can keep continue. But if you're really serious about your relationship with the Lord, and if you really want God to use you in a great and a powerful way, if you really want to see the Lord doing some things in your life, then all of us have to really get serious about this thing. Hey, let me ask you a question. How many believe in generational sins? How many believe that the enemy would love to continue to pass things down from your generation to your children's generation to your grandchildren's generation? But how many believe, praise God, we can stand up and say, hey, enough is enough, and we want to break this curse in the mighty strong name of Jesus. We want to take back the ground the enemy's taken. The enemy's come to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life and give it more abundantly. Amen and amen and amen. You know what I'm talking about. You know exactly already where maybe perhaps you have harbored something and it's just not right. But today, God doesn't want us to leave today in that same state. No, not at all. In the book of Daniel chapter 11, we've been studying Daniel for the last number of weeks. And by the sake of time, I just want to simply summarize. There are five personalities in the book of Daniel. Not one single negative word, by the way, was spoken about Daniel. He was a man of excellent spirit. And in the days of Daniel, they did great exploits, referring to the Maccabeans, that is, notable feats. He's called beloved of the Lord. By the way, young people, listen to me. Don't you think that you don't have to live for God and you can't live for God while you're young. Praise the Lord. Daniel was 15 years old, approximately, when they was taken to Babylon. Now he's an older man, 85 years old, in Daniel 11. I love what somebody said. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose true. Dare to make it known. How many believe that you can serve God no matter what age you are? Come on, somebody talk to me. No matter what age you are. And the question is, are you making a difference? The question is, are you on red hot fire for God? The question is, are you a lukewarm Christian? The question is, Lord, am I sold out to you? Is there any ground in my life that I've given over to the enemy? No, I hope not, but it could be. In the book of Daniel chapter 11, and let's begin reading, please, in verse 36. Daniel 11, verse 36. I'm reminded, Pastor Keynes, when we went over, Brother Tyler, when we went to Guyana, to the interior. I remember, Pastor Keynes, one night that we were going in different directions. I cannot recall the exact place we were at, but you know where the place was at. You remember those ladies in that church. You remember the demonic activity. I remember seeing when you came back, and Pastor Harry and we all sat down and talked about the demonic activity in that church. And here's a man of God, and yet we experience the same thing. You don't have to go to interior in Guyana to experience it. Bless God, it's right here in America. Y'all are quiet. Y'all don't talk to me today. That's all right. You know it's real. You know it's real. And see, sometimes we sophisticated and masqueraded and act like, oh, well, it's just this. The devil would love to use your flesh or my flesh. It doesn't matter. Look at Daniel chapter 11, verse 36. Here is the last personality whom I believe would be none other than the Antichrist, the body, the very embodiment of the devil, the incarnate devil. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 36, we begin reading, and the king shall do according to, somebody help me. And the king shall do according to, somebody help me. His will. Say it with me. His will. How many are looking at your Bible? Hold your Bible up. I just want to know if we might ought to put this on the screen. All right. Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. The king shall do according to his will, and shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Verse 37, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, underlying that, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his father knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Let me stop right there for a moment and simply say this. The stage is being set. The curtain is rising. You can see that can easily happen right now. The world is waiting for a man who has the answers for the economic problems, the political instability, the military uncertainty, and the religious apostasy. Our world is being set up right now for the Antichrist. No doubt about it. Look again with me, please, in verse number 38. But his estate shall be the honor of the God of forces, and a God whom the fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Verse 39. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. He shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for gain. Verse number 40. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south, underline that, the king of the south. You see that? We're coming back to it in a moment. The king of the south push against him, and the king of the north. Who is this king of the south? Who is this king of the north? Shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter into the glorious land. Where is that glorious land? It's Israel. Note it. Many countries. Let me just stop right there. Simply say this. I said it at the early service. Some of you, you're not going to get this. I'm telling you, you're in spiritual warfare right now. And it doesn't take much just to look outside and get your mind on something else. And before long, you're going to wonder, what in the world is Pastor Randy talking about? If you just go 2 or 3 minutes without listening, then all of a sudden you try to catch up what you're hearing, you're going to be way out there. And the next thing you know, you're going to leave church and say, you know, I didn't get anything out of that. Because you're not listening. Hello? It takes a lot of intensity to listen when the Word of God is being preached. It takes a lot of intensity to keep your mind focused. Come on. I've been where you're at. I know what I'm talking about. And my desire, and I know the devil is going to try to steal the seed that's being sown today. If the enemy knows, if he can keep you bound with some kind of stronghold or some kind of generational sin or some kind of thing that keeps you away from the perfect will of God, loving the Lord, serving the Lord, he's going to do it. Distractions and all this stuff, I want you to know we are in spiritual warfare right this moment. Right now. And as we're breaking open the Word of God, we just need to understand what it is. It's what it is. And so there's no mistake about it. The devil's intimidated, but thank God Jesus is greater than the enemy. And I tell you what, I've never preached a message before this particular one, and God has burst some things on my heart, and I believe for a reason. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're going through, all of you, but I know this. Praise God, Jesus is well able to set you free today, and he wants to do that. Where were we? We're in verse number 41. Read again, verse 41. He shall enter into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. And but he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings, notice verse 44, but tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. And verse 45, he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious mountain, holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end. I like this last part. He shall come to his end and none shall help him. This is the word of the Lord. Father, I pray now in the name of Jesus, Father, that you'll God bind the strong man from this place. We sense, Lord, the enemy's trying to come in like a flood, but we thank you the blood of the Lamb. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, I know there's families right here today that are weighing over the balance, Lord, and the enemy would love to snatch them and deceive us and mislead us. And oh God, we need heaven's help right now, Father, to show us, illumine our eyes, show us exactly where we're at in our life, our families, our children, and the battle that's raging and the warfare that's Lord all around us, and what hour we're living in this nation and in this world. And at a time like this, I thank you for the men, the daddies that are here. I pray pray, God, for the granddaddies that are here. We ask you and plead with you in the name of Jesus, Father God, to have mercy on us and put the blood of the Lamb over our homes and our children and our grandchildren and upon the Lord and your churches. Oh, Father God, we need a mighty filling of your Holy Spirit, and we welcome your Spirit of the living God. Fall fresh on us. We ask you to break the strongholds of the enemy. We pray, God, you'll tear down every large generational curse and everything the enemy will try to put on us in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Satan's overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We praise you, God our Father. Release your power. Restrain the works of the enemy. Lord, bring us to the place where you want us to be today. Lord, I praise you now and bless you for the lives that are going to be changed and the hearts that are going to be turned toward you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's not about me. I pray for a fresh cleansing, dear God, in my heart. Blot out every sin. And we just thank you now for victory in Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen and amen. Listen, beloved. There's the makeover, verses 36 through 39, the big makeover. Secondly, there is the takeover, the subtle takeover, verses 40 through 44. And then finally, the show is over. Number one, as we progress through the scripture, I want you to keep your Bibles open because this is futuristic. How do I know that? Because in verse 36 of Daniel chapter 11, these five personalities, namely the four, have been historical characters. It's already been a done deal. It's already happened in the past. Documented evidence, historically speaking. However, we come to chapter 11, verse 36, and the Hebrew text, there is a shift, there is a change, and there's no doubt that Daniel is referring to an event that's going to happen in the future. How many believe that the Bible is going to be true? How many believe that God's going to fulfill his promises? How many believe we're living in the last days of the last days? Hey, listen to me. I don't think that nobody knows the hour when Jesus is coming, but I believe right now it's getting sooner than it's ever been. I believe it's later than it's ever been. I believe we can see the stage is being set. The curtain is rising. I don't know when, but I know this. A message like this ought not to strike fear in you. It shouldn't cause you to be depressed. It shouldn't cause you to be discouraged. Rather, it ought to cause you to rise up and say, hallelujah, my God reigns, my God lives. I've read the last page. Jesus is coming again, and hallelujah, I can trust him no matter what. His word is true. Yes, it is. It's true. You can write it down. So this ought to be a faith builder in you. You say, but what about my family? What about my children? Get them ready too. We don't know the hour. Nobody knows the hour. I know this. You say, but all you preachers are saying that to scare folks. I'm telling you the honest truth. Who would have thought we'd be living in God bless America and see what we're seeing today? Wait a minute. The big makeover. Notice what Daniel says. He says, describing this, how will this take place? The Antichrist, the man of sin. We are sitting and say, who is this Antichrist? Some say it was Mussolini. Some say it was Stalin. Some say it was Nero. Some say it was President Obama. Anyway, I don't know about that, but anyway, I'll tell you what. And you know, by the way, sometimes we can be wrong. Sometimes we cannot understand. You heard about the two men. A man told me this week. He said there was two men talking, and one man had a dog right there by him. And one man said to the other man, said, sir, will your dog bite? He said, no. And so the man reached down to pet him, and the dog bit him. He said, I thought you told me your dog wouldn't bite. The man said, that's not my dog, all right? Sometimes we can be wrong. Sometimes we can definitely be wrong. But wait a minute. What about this man of sin? You see, first of all, notice verse 36 and 37. The king shall do according to who? His will. How many know that the devil wants his way? How many know the devil wants you to have your way? The devil doesn't want you to surrender to the lordship of Christ. The devil wants you to play church and be a good goody-two-shoe that really don't get right with God. Leave unconfessed sin there. You don't have to confess your sins. Why, you can play religiosity. You can be a church hopper or just come to church casually or just say you love the Lord and give God lip service. But I want you to know Jesus calls us to follow him, to take up a cross and follow him. He said it and amen it. And by the way, it's not my will, but it's his will be done. Not my will, but his will. Let's say it together. Not my will, but his will. Say it again. Not my will, but His will. The reason some of you said that, you hadn't thought about it in a long time. You've been living your life doing your own thing, right? Come on, talk to me. Be honest with me. You're going where you want to go, doing what you want to do, and maybe you hadn't thought about it. Wait a minute. God has made me. How many believe that God made you? How many believe that Jesus died on an old rugged cross to pour out His last blood to buy us back from this old sin-cursed world, and we're redeemed by His blood and justified by His blood and reconciled to a holy God by the blood of His darling beloved Son? I'm thankful to God what good works couldn't do, and what tears couldn't do, and what church membership couldn't do, and what baptism couldn't do, and what nothing else could do. Thank God the blood of Jesus does. Oh, yes, it does. He redeems us. He buys us back. Praise the Lord. He snatched me off the wide, broad gate. Is anybody here know what I'm talking about? I was headed to hell. I was 1 foot away from hell. But praise God for His mercy and grace. He snatched me, as it were, from the lake of fire, brought me up out of the horrible pit, put my foot on the solid rock, and gave me joy unspeakable, full of glory. I'm glad. Praise God. My God's big. He's great. He's worthy to be praised. Yes, He is. Somebody say amen. Somebody say glory. Because my God, He's in control. Not the devil, the God is in control. But notice about this Antichrist. Notice this. Not only will he come with His will, and he magnify himself above every god. Look at verse 37. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. You see that? Some say, Pastor, does that mean he's going to be a Jew? The God of his fathers. A quick note, you'll note that that word God is the word Elohim in the Hebrew. Say it with me. Elohim. Say it again. Elohim. That word Elohim can be used. It's also used in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, Elohim. Elohim means a supreme being. It can refer to Almighty God, the God we serve, or Elohim is used in other contexts in the scripture to mean a false god. Now, if the writer, namely the Holy Spirit, used Daniel, if he'd have wrote the word Jehovah, say it with me, Jehovah or Yahweh, say it with me, Yahweh, that's a personal relationship with God. So, having said that, the word Elohim is used here. And so, scholars tell us, look at it again, verse 37, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, Elohim, nor the desire of women. What's he saying? I don't know if he's a Jew or not. Many say he probably is not a Jew because this word Elohim refers to any god, a false god. Bottom line is this. It doesn't really matter. The bottom line is the Antichrist has want to be worshipped and want people to worship him. Paul wrote, if you're taking notes, you might want to note 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1 following. Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled in spirit or by word or by letter from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you. That day shall not come, except there first come a falling away. That is departure from the truth. A falling away. And the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God, so that he sinned in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Bottom line is Satan has always wanted worship. And by the way, we're either worshiping Almighty God of the Bible or we're worshiping the devil. Right. Oh, that was silent on me. I knew it would be silent. But wait a minute. Not only is he the worship and does not regard the God of his father, but notice something else. Hey, listen to me. Look at over here in verse 37. Nor the desire of women. If you see that, say amen. What does that mean? What's it saying? Some say, oh, that means the Antichrist is going to be a homosexual. Have you heard that? How many of you have heard that? Raise your hand. Nobody. One person in the house. I don't know if the Antichrist is going to be a homosexual or not, but y'all hear me real good, all right? I do not hate homosexuals. We've all got them in our families. Somebody say amen. But God calls every man to repent. Homosexual, heterosexual, or whoever. God calls every man to repent. That's right. And so a lot of times you start preaching on this subject and you label a hate monger and intolerant and bigot and all that. We're living in a late day. Who would ever thought this week, Monday, the Supreme Court would have made this banning of laws and such about the homosexuals, same-sex marriages. And North Carolina had the first two ladies to be married in holy matrimony. Well, what am I saying? I'm saying this. Who would have ever dreamed 30 years ago, 20 years ago, that we'd be where we're at as a nation and as a people? Listen to me. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. What matters is what God's Word says. That's what matters. And you can justify it in your family. I can justify it in my family. But if I'm wrong, I got to get right. If you're wrong, you got to get right. Let God be true and every man a liar. So we got to take God's side, not man's side, all right? And so let's take God's side and watch God set people free. I've seen them set free from this lifestyle. And praise the Lord, I know God set me free from a sinful lifestyle. And I bless the Lord, He's able to set anybody free. Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. By the way, that desire of women, not necessarily in the context of Daniel 11, necessarily refers to that he has not no desire for women. Some interpret that, that there is no desire from women, regardless of what the theologians and scholars split hairs over. The bottom line is the Antichrist is going to move on the scene. By the way, I was here in the parking lot on Thursday this week. A man came by. He was a Methodist pastor. Nice man. I met him from McDonough, Georgia. And we were standing out in the parking lot. I asked him, I said, Mike, how's it doing? He's a pastor, and he was telling me, he said, you know, Brother Pastor, we live in a late day. I said, yes, I understand that. The Bible talks about that. And he said, do you believe that our denomination, by the way, how many know denomination won't get you to heaven? It won't do it. But he said, do you know that our denomination, Methodists, they're now ordaining homosexuals into ministry. Hello, can y'all hear me? Is it right or is it wrong? Friend, we got to take a stand. If you don't stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. And that's the trouble a lot of Christians. We're afraid of the world. We're afraid of persecution. You don't have to be ugly about it. You don't have to be hateful about it. But bless God, if God says something about it, we got to take God's side and not man's. Somebody ought to say amen. We got too many Christians that are yellow-bellied Christians and jellyfish backbone Christians and won't take a stand and won't speak up and say, and God's calling us today. Let God be true and every man a liar. God's saying, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord as Joshua of old. And there's some daddies and granddaddies I'm looking out in the house of God today that God's doing a work in your life. God's making a difference in your life. I want to encourage a daddy, strengthen God, strengthen their faith, strengthen their arms. I know the battle is raging. I know the enemy is trying to lure us away, but praise God, it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Tell me, are you purposing your heart? You're going to run the race. You're going to keep the faith. Daniel said in Daniel 1 and 8, he purposed in his heart. He would not defile himself with the king's meat nor the king's wine. Anyway, this Methodist pastor told me about all that. It reminded me of the story of this. I said, Baptist, if you're Baptist or Methodist, you've got to be born again. Amen. You must be born again. But a Baptist preacher went to a church. And he sat back in the back. Methodist preacher said to everybody in the church, said, how many of you Methodists? I'm not picking on Methodists. I saw this Methodist pastor friend. I like him. I praise God, pray for him. Everybody raise their hand, but the Baptist pastor in the back. He said to the man in the back, he said, sir, what are you? And the man stood up and said, well, my daddy was a Baptist. My mama was a Baptist. My grandmother was a Baptist. My grandpa was a Baptist. My uncle was a Baptist. My aunt's a Baptist. My cousins are Baptist. My brothers are Baptist. My sister's a Baptist. And so the Methodist pastor got what he was saying. He said to him, the Methodist pastor, to the one man in the church sitting in the back, he said, well, what if your mama would have been a moron and your daddy would have been a moron and your grandmama would have been a moron and your granddaddy would have been a moron and your aunts would have been moron and your uncle would have been a moron and your brothers would have been morons and your sisters would have been moron? What would you have been? He said, I guess I'd have been a Methodist. Anyway, for whatever it's worth, hey, look. We're in a late hour. It's a late hour. Tell me, where is the enemy trying to gain ground on you? Where is the enemy trying to, you know, you can get victory. Hey, let me say this. We can get victory over besetting sins, but it won't be long before the enemy comes back. The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. He'll flee all right, but he won't stay long. Peter said, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom we stand steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are accomplishing to brethren in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called you unto his eternal glory, after that you suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. That's 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. Bottom line is this, the enemy has come in like a flood. And having to know that our communities, our families, our marriages, our children, our communities are being affected by the work of the enemy. Say amen. It's time to take back the ground. It's time to say no to the devil. It's time to say, God, enough is enough. And greater is he that is in me than he's in the world. Let's say that together. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so I want you to know, brother, here's that makeover. The enemy is subtle, like the frog that was boiled alive. But notice verses 40 through 44. We move from the big makeover now to the subtle takeover. The subtle takeover. I wish I had time to delve into all of this, but my time will not permit me, other than alluding to the verses. Notice again verse 40. And I want to address, with the help of the Lord, three questions. Number one, who? And number two, where? And number three, what? Number one, who? Number two, where? And number three, what? Look at verse 40 again. If you're looking at it, say amen. See, this is going to, I pray that God will build faith in you. You look around at our troubled world and you say that, man, where in the world, where, what is our world heading? What in the world is happening in our world? God gives us right here in his word where it's headed. He's written down for us so we can prepare. Are you prepared to meet God? Are you prepared to be good salt and a bright light in a dark world? Are you prepared to live godly? Are you prepared to keep the whole armor of God on? Are you prepared to fulfill the calling that God has on your life? May I say, with a broken heart, it's going to take the grace of God to keep any of us. Oh, yes, it is. Verse 40 through 45. Read it with me, please. And at the time of the end, notice he didn't say the end time. He said the time of the end. At the time of the end, shall the king of the, help me out, somebody, the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and horsemen and with many ships. And he, the Antichrist, shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. And he shall enter also into the glorious land. That's Israel. Mark your Bibles. Israel. And many countries. Because I'm fixing to go into this more detail. If I lose you here, you're going to be lost in a moment when I put the map up on the screen. You're not going to know where I'm going. All right? Follow with me, please. Look at it. And verse 41, you say, Pastor, you talk too fast. Man, I got too much to say. I'm sorry, my time runs out, all right? If you'll let me preach for 2 hours, I'll slow down. Can I get an amen? All right, amen or oh me. So I got a lot to say, a lot of time to get there. Man, have you ever tried to cover the... I tell you, I'm challenged, but I love it. I praise God, and I appreciate you being here. Look at verse number 41 again. He shall enter into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom. Wow, I should have had time to develop that. And Moab. And the chief of the children of Ammon, he shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasure of the gold and silver and over the precious things of Egypt. Libyans and Ethiopians shall be at his steps, and the tidings. Look at this, verse 44. You see verse 44? Are you there? I got a couple of you with me. Amen. But the tidings out of the east shall, and out of the north shall trouble him. Who? The Antichrist. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. Look at verse 45. Wow. He shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between what? The seas. In the glorious holy mountain he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Can I answer these questions as quickly as I can? Bring up the map, if you would, please, in the back. The first question is who? Who is this referring to? Verses 40 through 44. Who is this? Who is this king of the north? Who is this king of the south? Who are these kings of the east? What country are they coming from? You'll notice here a map. And if you'll notice in the map, here is Turkey right here. Here is Syria right here. By the way, today as we speak, they're battling right now on the border of Syria. And thousands and thousands and thousands of people could possibly massacred and brutally murdered by the ISIS, the Islamic regime that's spreading across, as we spoke about last week. But you'll notice not only Turkey, here is Syria, here is Israel right here. See the name Israel? Look at these, Ammon, Moab, Edom. That is present day Jordan, all right? And you'll notice right here, if you would bring the map up a little higher, please. Here's Egypt, see that? Egypt. Here's Egypt. Here's Syria. And these are, according to many, the king of the north will be, no doubt, Syria. It's already described in the first few verses in the book of Daniel. And the king of the south will be Egypt, along with some other, you can't see them on the map because they're not on the map, Ethiopians, Somalians. These countries will merge. Where? In Jerusalem. Now, can you run the map up higher? You'll see Russia up here a little bit higher. Keep on running. Keep on going. Right there. All right? Run it down a little further, please. And you'll see the top heading. All right? The map of Antichrist conquest. Daniel 11, 40 through 43. Here's Russia. Look where it's due north of Israel. Look where Syria is north. Look how Egypt is south. I said all that to describe to you from a geographical viewpoint, what are these nations they're talking about? Kings of the north, kings of the south, and then the kings of the east. Now, if you would bring that other chart, please, for our attention. There's another chart that I want you to see, and this is during the time of what this is going to happen. So, who are these nations? Syria, Egypt, and some of the African countries, many believe, Ethiopia, Somalia, as mentioned here. Now, where are they going? I just told you, the glorious land. Where is that? Israel. And what's going to happen? If you'll notice here, here is Daniel 11, verse 40 through 45. You'll notice how many believe the next event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. That's the rapture of the church. Chronologically speaking, there will be that 7 years of tribulation, the abomination of desolation. You see that word there, abomination of desolation? There are some people today, hold that map please. There are some people today that say, I don't believe Daniel wrote that book. Daniel could not have known what happened. You see, Daniel looked 500 years in the future and was able to pinpoint events that took place. How could Daniel do that? God is a God of all knowing. Amen. God knew it and God saw it. By the way, do you know what Jesus said about Daniel the prophet? Jesus affirmed Daniel the prophet. Where did he do that, Brother Pastor? Matthew chapter 14, verse 15. He said the abomination of desolation, which will refer to the time when the Antichrist moves in the temple and sets himself up to be God. And then Jesus said, mark it down, y'all can look up it later, Matthew 24, verse 15. He said what Daniel the prophet spoke of. Now, if Jesus believed in Daniel the prophet, I ought to believe in Daniel the prophet, all right? I'm just saying that on a side note because there are many people today who try to discredit the Word of God. Anyway, here is this end time event which the Antichrist will take place, the abomination of desolation. All right, next question. What is going to happen? I got to summarize it and I'll be done. You need to come back tonight. We'll be able to get in more detail tonight. But I want you to look up here just a moment, all right? In my mind, I thought, Lord, how in the world could I try to teach or preach on this subject and people visualize what's going on? Imagine for a moment, here is Israel, right? I'm standing right in the middle of Israel. Let's say this is to the south. This is to the north. To the south of Israel is Egypt. To the north of Israel is Syria. Bring that map back up, Chase, please. To the north is Syria. Now, it is true that Russia is also to the north of Israel. If I had time, we'd go into detail about Ezekiel 38 and 39. Ezekiel 38 and 39 speaks of this Islamic invasion. How many believe the Muslims are out to take over the world? How many believe they're already here in America? How many believe that they're already in governmental authority in America? How many of you believe you got your head in the sand, you need to wake up? It's we're there. And make no mistake about it, their caliphate, their Quran teaches that. We talked about it last week. If you want to get a tape on it, I'm not trying to give you a tape, but you'll hear where we came from on that viewpoint. Ezekiel 38, 39 is a coalition of nations that will come together from the north to invade Israel. God and Magog, the ruler, and Magog being the land of Russia and Ukraine. There are a number of countries mentioned in Ezekiel 38. I'm going from Daniel 11. Y'all follow me? I'm moving from Daniel 11. Now I'm over in Ezekiel 38, 39. These coalition of nations, Russia, Ukraine, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Sudan, Ethiopia, Somalia, and Libya are mentioned in Ezekiel 38, 39. These are Islamic nations. Egypt will be involved. Syria will be involved. But wait a minute. How many have ever studied the Battle of Armageddon? Do you know where we're heading? We're heading for the Battle of Armageddon, the most gruesome battle in all of human history, where the blood is said to flow at the height of a horse's bridle, some 200 miles long. It's recorded and going to take place in the Valley of Megiddo. I stood right there and saw the Valley of Megiddo, 64 miles long, 14 miles wide. The perfect battlefield. Jesus, when he comes back again, Zechariah 14:4, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives and cleave in two. He'll go down into the Kidron Valley. There'll be a battle there because God says in Zechariah 14:1 and 14:2, he'll gather all the nations of the world will come against Israel. And then he'll make his way into the Valley of Megiddo where the nations of the world will merge. Now, many believe that the Islamic nations, this is a campaign leading up to the Battle of Armageddon. It's not just one battle. It's a sequence of battles. If you look up the word Armageddon, you'll find out in Revelation 16, it's a campaign, meaning a series of battles. That explains Daniel 11. Now, having said that, let me go back to this scenario. Here's Israel. Here is Egypt. Are y'all still with me? Say amen. All right, I know our military men are with me. They're interested in this. Some of us may kind of be questioned. That's all right. We'll keep talking about it. Hang in there. And then the northern is Assyria. Now, I believe personally that the Antichrist is going to set up his headquarters. How many have read Daniel chapter 9, verse 27? He, the Antichrist, will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Daniel chapter 9, a wonderful passage of scripture, verse 24 through 27. It says, he, the Antichrist, will confirm. The word confirm there is the word jibar, which means to strengthen a covenant. How many know right now that Israel has never, ever lived at a time of peace? Never. How many know right now that all it would take was somebody to come in and say, don't worry, I'll fight your battles. You'll have peace and prosper. Don't worry. We've got all the solutions. That's exactly what the Antichrist is going to do. Confirm a peace treaty. And the stage is being set right now. All right? After he confirms this peace treaty with Israel, then he goes over to Rome to set up his headquarters. How to know that? Revelation 17. How to know that? Daniel chapter 7. How to know that? Daniel 7, 8. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. The Roman Empire has not fully been dissolved. Many believe it'll be a revived Roman Empire. Others don't believe that, and that's all right. Well, regardless of where the Antichrist has set up his headquarters, I personally believe it's going to be Rome. Now watch, watch, watch. The Antichrist has said, I'm going to keep you safe, Israel. Don't worry about it. But then when he's over here in Rome, and all of a sudden the Syrians start coming, the kings of the north and the kings of the south, and they're starting to merge in Israel. Wait a minute. He's got a covenant with his people. He'll move on the scene. You say, where does that say that, Brother Pastor? Look over here in verse number 41. He shall enter into the glorious land, and many countries overthrown. Do you see the word? What are the three countries mentioned in Daniel chapter 11, verse 41? Somebody name them for me. Say them out real loud. Edom, Moab, and where? And look at them. They're up here on the screen. Why in the world would God spare the Edomites, the Moabites, and these Ammonites? Why would he do it? And the termites? Amen. I can't even read. Is that? Yeah, there it is. I'm not going to tell you. You've got to come back tonight. There's a reason, there's a plan that God is going to, the Antichrist just passes right by them. Is that what your Bible says? Look at verse 41. Does he just pass by them? Does he defeat them? Why does he leave them? Ah, good question. Ah, demands an answer. Ah, do you know? Well, having said that, now he's moving in the scene and he sets up, there is the battle taking place. And the Antichrist usurps authority over God. The makeover. But look at verse 45, and I've got to finish right here. I'll be done right here. Verse 45. He shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in that glorious holy mountain. And he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Again, he, who is he? The Antichrist. He'll plant his, what does that mean? He'll plant his tabernacles between the seas. What does that mean? If you had a map right here, you're not able to see all of it, but you can see some of it between the seas. You know what that sea is? To the west of Israel, the Mediterranean Sea. Do you know what's south of Israel, the sea? Called the Dead Sea, or rather the Red Sea. The Red Sea's right here south, but then you know what's to the east of Israel? The Dead Sea. You know what's north to Israel? The Sea of Galilee. Verse 45. He shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas. Where? In that glorious holy mountain. Where's the glorious holy mountain? Israel, Jerusalem, the Temple Mount. I said in the early service, every day when we were over in Israel just a few months ago, we stood there at the Western Wall. Jews, as we're talking right now, they're 6-7 hours ahead of us. Right now, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. There are no telling how many Jews with their face to the wall, crying out to God, build a temple. They do not have a temple. And they're praying day and night. This is where the Antichrist is going to, once the temple is rebuilt. And by the way, we went through the Temple Institute. It wouldn't take long. Some suggest 6 months to build a temple right now. They've got things in place, cornerstones, priests, harps, etc., etc. I'm telling you, folks, it's later than you think. I'm telling you, folks, God's wanting us to understand the times in which we're living. And I'm afraid to say most of us are going through life and we're oblivious to what's going on around us and God's overall plan. You say, Pastor, why should I care? Because there's a lot of people out there who don't know God. They don't know Jesus. And God wants us to tell them about the Word of God and the love of God that they might be saved too. Somebody say amen. And that's the purpose of the message. There's a lot of people interested in what's going on in ISIS right now in Syria. And they're, by the way, they're just not far from Baghdad. It won't take long, that according to some of the reports I'm reading, that this town right here, that it won't be long. They'll be there in Baghdad. I know we're bombing them over there in Syria, but is that going to do any good? I'll tell you, I don't know, but I know this. Now is a great opportunity to tell somebody about the God of the Bible, isn't it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah for time to live such as this. Now, question as we close. Bring the frog up again, please. The devil is going to come to his end. The Antichrist is going to be thrown in the lake of fire. The false prophet is going to be thrown in the lake of fire, according to Revelation chapter 19. And thank God, Jesus is going to rule forever and ever and ever. Let me ask you this as we stand to our feet today. Let me ask you this as we stand to our feet today. Maybe today be honest with God. Maybe today you Lord has spoken to you about some things in your life, some music or some friends you're hanging around, or maybe there's some compromising on the computer or compromising on the television or compromising in movies or maybe your mind, I don't know what it is. Maybe you've got anger in your heart today. Maybe you know that your children, you're seeing patterns in your children's life and they're following daddy and mama and they're following grandmama and granddaddy. And today you want to, in the name of Jesus, say, God, break every stronghold of the enemy. Tear down every, you see, if we don't take authority in the name of Jesus, the enemy is going to continue to sow his dirty seeds in our family. Somebody say amen. Today, God is calling us. There's young people here. This first time you come to church, and I know you might be, wait a minute, Pastor, you've thrown a lot at us. We love you. I love you in the name of Jesus. And my desire is that we all, me and my family as well, just because you had victory yesterday over the enemy doesn't mean you're going to have victory tomorrow or today. It's a daily, daily walking with the Lord, trusting the Lord, and watching Jesus lay bare his mighty armor power. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.